This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Man, the trans stuff has gotten out of control, and I just had an awkward moment in the elevator, and it's not my fault at all. I try to teach my kids, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. When they're ordering food, when they're interacting with their grandparents, that's what I try to do. And so I try to make sure I'm doing that at all times in public. And I don't want to ruin someone's day. I have no idea what that thing was in the elevator. I have no idea. It pressed a button for me, and I said, thank you, ma'am. And it looked at me, and I couldn't tell if it was glaring at me or not. So I was like, sir, only I said, sir, really, really quietly. And I didn't know, Michael, what was I supposed to do? I didn't know. I know I should have just said, thank you. I should have just said, listen. I should have said, listen, thank you.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know, freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean? You would have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean.
Of course.
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
Listen, thank you. Oh, I should note, we have What Chris merch on the way. I'll let you know when it's ready. It's not ready yet. I just want to give you a heads up. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Now, let's get to some emails before we get to corporate America screwing everything up and our military. Oh, gosh, this is really not good. Jesse, try the burger recipe exactly. No salads here. The burgers were the best. I now have added a stockpile of Chipotle Tabasco. All the best, and thanks again. Here's your reminder. I make the best cheeseburgers on the face of the planet. Jesse, listening to the U.S. Navy pronouns made me sad. I served from 73 to 79 aboard a 1,200 PSI steam turbine destroyer. Whenever you had a leak in the 1,200 PSI main steam line, it would sound like a jet engine was lit off inside the compartment. While you could hear the leak, you could not see it because the steam did not condense cool enough until it traveled approximately 30 feet. You would use a broom handle to find the path of the leak. Close to the origin, the steam would chop the handle in two. Needless to say, 1,200 PSI steam melts snowflakes. I mean, people need to understand. I'll play you the pronoun thing again before we get to everything else that's going on. People really need to understand how much dangerous stuff is on board these naval vessels. All the munitions and explosives and fuel steam, fire. It's a gigantic floating steel box with high explosives and flames inside of it. To make sure you keep one of these afloat, make sure you can put out fires, make sure you can fix things when things go wrong. It takes hour after hour after hour after hour of training. We talk about training all the time. It takes hours of training. Your crew on a naval vessel, you have to be a well-oiled, well-communicating machine. You have all these moving parts, and keep in mind, one thing that strikes you when you read books about it, when it comes to combat, you have to prepare for the worst at all times. Yeah, you might be, oh, that fire drill went well today. Oh, good, good, good. What do we do if a torpedo splits the ship in half? What do we do if that guy's dead and all of his friends? Can you step in? The redundancy. Oh, we need someone to run this. Oh, sorry, Bob got killed. Well, too bad. Now you're Bob. Hour after hour after hour. That's what it takes. And this is what your U.S. Navy is working on.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I am Conchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves. apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question. A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language. Instead of saying something like, hey, guys.
You know another thing they don't talk about enough when it comes to naval vessels and naval combat? How heavy everything on board is? Not just the guns, the torpedoes themselves, the shells, the everything. They need pulley systems to load these shells up. Did you know that when a naval vessel gets in combat and it starts to get hit by rounds, not only is there water leaks and things to worry about, but all these heavy things start to come loose and they fall on people. Did you know it's not uncommon for sailors to be crushed to death while they're in a naval battle? You see, you're out there working, a round hits here, a torpedo hits there, and a 1,200-pound torpedo lands on your back and you're dead. I just want to keep in mind, these are the stakes of the game as you listen to our naval videos.
You can say, hey everyone, or hey team.
Yeah, and now that you say that, another way that we could show that we're allies and that we accept everyone.
Yeah, you get the idea. I have two more headlines today. And I'm going to say something right now, and I mean it all the way. I want you to understand I'm not trying to be over the top. I mean this all the way. The next Republican president of the United States of America, whoever it ends up, Trump, DeSantis, someone else, I don't care. Whoever ends up as the next president of the United States of America, they will fire every flag officer in the United States military, or they're not serious about fixing any of this. I'm going to read you headline number one. Actually, you know what? Pause on that. Pause it. I'll read the headline in a moment. Let's talk a little bit of history. A little bit. Don't get excited. Just a little bit. You know about the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, right? I'm not going to bore you with the details because you know all that. But what you may not know about the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor is it was part of a very, very, very coordinated, larger campaign by the Japanese in the South Pacific. The plan was, boom, come over, sucker punch America. And then over the course of the next few days, few weeks, you go take over all these different parts of Asia and the South Pacific and dig in. That was the plan. We like to think of Pearl Harbor as the only operation. It was just part of it. It was just part of it. And there was another part of the operation. You see, we did have military personnel over there, and actually we had a base with a bunch of our planes on it. And the Japanese planes were dominating the skies. And after Pearl Harbor, the Japanese, they decided they were going to take out our planes so we couldn't get them in the air and take out their planes. You know the easiest way to take out a fighter plane of any era, whether it be World War I all the way up to today? You know the easiest way to take out a fighter plane? I'm going to give you a technique. I probably shouldn't even give this out on the air. The easiest way? Before it takes off, you take them out on the ground. The Japanese knew this. The Japanese, our planes were lined up like sticks. And the Japanese took out virtually our entire air force. It wasn't an air force yet, but I'm just using that so it's easy to understand. This is, I believe, one day after Pearl Harbor, I believe. They took out virtually our entire air force over there, and they weren't even off the ground yet. They simply strafed and bombed our planes into oblivion, and then we were completely handicapped, and they ruled the skies for a long time over there. Headline. Navy and Air Force struggling to keep planes ready for takeoff. Mission capable rates, a metric used to assess the health and readiness of an aircraft fleet and other related maintenance metric trends, have worsened since the fiscal year 2015 for 8 selected aircraft. While the Air Force and Navy have initiatives, oh, they're great, that'll work out well, to address unit-level maintenance challenge, neither service has mitigated the persistent fixed-wing aircraft sustainment risks. That was a long, complicated way of saying, you think we have all these fancy planes? And we do, oh boy, we do. Let me tell you what, we do. We have some of the finest pilots, some of the finest, if not the finest, fighter jets in the world. You know what that plane's worth on the ground? As much as your car. That's what it's worth on the ground. I'm telling you right now, we are going to have to take ownership of our own protection at some point in the future of this nation. We are. When I tell you to train, that's why I tell you to train. When I tell you to get a weapon in your hands and train, get a weapon in your hands and train. I don't care if it's an AR-15. I don't care if it's a pistol of some kind. Whatever it is, train with it. And look, we're out of excuses to not be training, especially with the invention of the Mantis X system. Rounds too expensive? You don't fire a round. You don't have to fire a round when you train with your Mantis X. Gas too expensive? Sorry, you practice with Mantis X in the comfort of your home. There are no more excuses. Train, train, train. Go to MantisX.com. Get one and practice in your home. It's what the Green Berets use. MantisX.com. MantisX.com. Do not hope you are ready. Make sure. And the only way to make sure is practice. The only difference between you and those Navy SEALs, practice. MantisX.com.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and hey, look, you might be worried about the fiscal situation out there. I don't want you to be worried at all. We'll get back to this military stuff in a second. Joe Biden, he's all over it.
I know you're looking for more money from Congress for this vaccine campaign and for COVID funding going into the fall. How much of the supply of vaccines for these small children is there, and how many of the nation's kids will you be able to get vaccinated before you need more money from Congress?
Well, we'll get through at least this year. We do need more money, but we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead. And that's not something the last outfit did very well. That's something we've been doing for fairly well. That's why we need the money.
There's going to be another pandemic? First of all, we had a pandemic before? Now, look, I don't want to speak out of turn. I understand full well that COVID is a deadly virus, but people do remember that the CDC changed how they were defining COVID deaths, because they were defining everyone who died with COVID as dying from COVID. And as soon as they fixed that, you understand COVID's killed like 50,000 people here, right? Way less than the flu. And that's one. Two, a second pandemic? How does he know that? Planning another one? I would love to know exactly how he knows that. That's one. Two, you do remember my interview with Dr. Naomi Wolf talking about what that air fingers quote vaccine does to children. We now have the president of the United States of America, as the nation is bankrupt, runaway inflation, telling you that Congress needs to send him even more money to buy those vaccines for the children. Again, we have to have public trials. We'll get back to that in a minute. We have to have public trials. I'm going to stay on the military thing for a second. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I told you, the next president, the next Republican president, has to fire all the flag officers in the military. And I brought up how the Navy and Air Force, they're struggling to keep planes ready to even take off. We are in very, very, very deep trouble. Let's talk about West Point for a minute. West Point. You know what West Point is? Of course you do. That's, of course, the Army's military academy. And you should know, in case you don't know, it's not for dummies. Shockingly, me finishing top two-thirds in my high school would not have gotten me into West Point. It is an elite university. It is the university that for a very long time has produced the guys who lead our military. It just has. It's what it's done. You know, right now, they're teaching about whiteness and critical race theory at West Point. We have Navy and Air Force planes not able to get off the ground. The Army has a gigantic readiness problem. The Navy's crashing into underwater mountains. And West Point, one of our elite military universities, they're teaching whiteness. The next GOP president has to fire every single general and admiral. In fact, I'd guess everyone over 06. Go ahead.
I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university. And it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage. And I'm white. And I want to understand it. So what
that's
is
the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Mark Miller, that's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. In order to clean out the rot, it is so deep, we have to fire every single general, and then we have to go to our military academies. Annapolis, obviously, Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, and Army Academy, and we have to fire everyone. And when I say everyone, I want to make sure you understand what I mean. I mean the parking attendant is fired. Security, fired. I want the janitor, fired. Every professor, fired. The head of these universities, fired. And maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, Jesse, that's too far. That's mean. That's draconian. We can't fire everyone. That's not right. Okay? You have any idea what it would be like to have an American city burn? To have foreign bombs drop on American cities and watch it burn? You and I, we don't know what that's like. That sounds so foreign to us. American cities haven't burned from armies since the Civil War. We don't experience that. We have no idea what that's like. You do understand that countries around the world have to go through this routinely, right? Ask them in Ukraine right now what that's like. You understand that you and your shopping mall and your apartment complex and every part of your city could easily crumble to dust and go up in flames with an invading foreign army. Those are the stakes of the game. We have a military that is not ready. It is not ready for prime time. And it's not just that it's not ready. It is racing in the wrong direction. Racing in the wrong direction. Remember when we nuked those 10 innocent people in Afghanistan? And they didn't hold a single person accountable for it? In fact, initially, the generals tried to tell you that they were ISIS fighters we got. And then, after an extended investigation where the military investigated the military, they came out and said, no one was really at fault. No one got demoted. No one even got into trouble. What did they call it? I believe Kirby called it, if I remember right, a failure of process. It's a failure of process. You remember that? We have a military that is, more technologically advanced than it's ever been. It is turning to dust in front of our eyes. To dust. And you know, the saddest part of that for me is this. There are so many patriotic, hard-charging, war-fighting young men who are in various military branches right now who are so good and they're awesome. And they're the ones we need fighting for the country, and they're an inspiration, and they're going to die along with everyone else. If things go wrong, that guy's going to die, and it's not going to be any fault of his own because he's in there trying to do the right thing, fight for his country, stand up like a patriot, and it's all being torn down around him, all of it, every bit of it being torn down around him. It's freaking awful. I can't believe we can't do something about this or won't. The level of insanity in this country. Golly. All right. We're going to get to some emails and corporate America losing its mind. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Wait, it is Tuesday, right, Chris? I've been saying Tuesday the whole time. Sometimes I'll be honest with you, I don't know what day it is. I show up, and if Chris and Michael were here, I know it's showtime, baby. And if they're not, then I just quietly close the door and I go back home. It's no big deal. Let's get to some emails before I get to a couple other things. Because I need to wash the yuck off of me after listening to the Texas Department of Public Safety described the Uvalde police response. My word.
The law enforcement response to the attack at Robb Elementary was an abject failure and antithetical to everything we've learned over the last two decades since the Columbine massacre. 3 minutes after the subject entered the West Building, there was a sufficient number of armed officers wearing body armor to isolate, distract, and neutralize the subject. The only thing stopping a hallway of dedicated officers from entering room 111 and 112 was the on-scene commander, who decided to place the lives of officers before the lives of children.
I don't understand that. I don't know any cops like that. I don't understand that. I'm watching. I'll just say that much. I'm watching. I'm officially suspicious. Something about this does not make sense. Something about it does not make sense. All right, Jesse, I listened to your college rant, and while I do agree with you, I'm going to college this fall. I'm going for social studies education. I love history and this great country. I am disgusted with how the public schools are pushing the trans filth. I want to teach the right way and show how great America is. Love the show, and buenas tardes. Buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes.
To you too, my friend. And go, hey, look, we need you in teaching. If you're a hardcore right-winger who loves America, we need you in teaching. The communists took that over a long time ago. I know we have a bunch of teachers who listen to the show. We need more of you. Don't quit. You stay there. Golly. You're doing good. The guy says you're doing good because you have fun and you keep us on the edge of societal evolution, just like Rush did. We love you. Well, that's very nice. How about that, Chris? I am great. Don't you think? What, Chris? Don't you agree? Dear crayon-eating, fly-killing, carcass-leaving Jesse, why haven't you mentioned Amy Klobuchar for the Dem nomination? Also, thank you. I must be a dime because I roll my eyes and constantly sigh at my husband of 38 years. By the way, I can't say of course anymore without chuckling. People think I'm a lunatic. We were talking about, I have made the prediction a couple times now on the show. I think the presidential nominee is going to be New York City Mayor Eric Adams. I think everyone else is toast. You could make an argument it's going to be Gavin Newsom, that nut job in California. Everyone listening right now in California just screamed at me and cussed and punched the radio. But I've said it's going to be Eric Adams. You brought up Amy Klobuchar. I don't know what it is. And this is what I mean. You ever see somebody and you say, man, he has it. She just has it. I don't know that it can be defined. Like when I look at myself, I say, he has it. Sorry. No, I'm kidding. You know what I mean. When you see a talented person, politician, you say he has it or doesn't have it. I don't know how to define that, but I also know this. You can easily tell when somebody doesn't have it. I've heard Amy Klobuchar, I've heard her name batted around a lot. And remember, the rumor was that Joe Biden, he was going to pick Amy Klobuchar as his vice president because she was the one that would balance him out the most. And then he was worried about losing the primary and needed more of the black vote. So he ran out and said he's going to get a black woman instead. And that's when he brought in Doam. So that's how we ended up where we are. So Klobuchar, I realize she's super high up, but I also know this. I watched all those Democrat debates from before. Amy Klobuchar can't do a debate and have any charisma whatsoever. And do you remember that? You probably forget how shaky she was. And I mean physically shaky. I'm sure it's just nerves, being on camera, giving speeches. It's not for everybody. But she was up there shaking like a dog pooping a peach pit every single time they had a debate. You can't win the office of the presidency without charisma. Or a bunch of cheating like Joe Biden. But you can't win the office of the presidency. Prior to Joe Biden, when the mass mail-in voting miraculously worked out well for Democrats, prior to that, virtually every president was a charismatic dude. Now, I know you hate a lot of them, but remember, charisma isn't what you like or don't like. Trump is swimming in charisma.
One of the greatest travesties of all is to see a person in the White House who, even after years of political experience, has absolutely no clue how to be the president of the United States. And I hope he has recovered because, as you know, he fell off his bicycle today. No, I'm serious. I hope he's okay. fell off a bicycle. I make this pledge to you today. I will never, ever ride a bicycle.
I don't care if you love Trump or hate Trump. Trump has charisma.
A lot of it.
Barack Obama. I hate him more than I hate any U.S. politician in history. Barack Obama has a lot of charisma. George Bush, that Texas, kind of that cocky Texas twang. George Bush has charisma. I don't even like George Bush. Bill Clinton. Dude, Clinton is swimming in it. Slick Willie, a lot. I mean, it's all of them, right? Reagan, all of them. Amy Klobuchar, whatever it is, Amy Klobuchar don't have it. She just doesn't. That person's never going to be president of the United States of America. Plus, the last thing we need is a woman. Anyway, moving on. It's fine, Chris. We can make jokes. Harris Teeter. I know I've been to a few Harris Teeters, quite a few of them, actually. I know they're in North Carolina. I don't know if they're in other states, but just know it's a grocery store chain. Just a grocery store chain. There's a lady named Christy Clark. She's running for office in North Carolina. She walks in a Harris Teeter. She takes a picture of some T-shirts and koozies or whatever they are. Things that say, give me liberty and give me death with a gun on, or give me death with a gun on it. And then look, just a couple of, you know, patriotic little things that would go over very well in a patriotic state like North Carolina. She decides she's going to let Harris Teeter know via Twitter about these things. And that, of course, she cites gun violence and whatnot. Harris Teeter immediately responds, thanks her for it. And then they put a recall request in place to remove the items from the store. I want you to remember something. Corporate boardrooms, they're not only full of these card-carrying communists now, they're full of cowards. Cowards who respond to whatever the latest public outrage is. It is time for us to wade into that game because these people have no idea. They're so online, they have no idea how to separate reality from that. That's one person who put up a picture on Twitter, even if she was the most popular person in the world. And from her, you got 50,000 of those. It's not going to hurt your business. Just ignore her and shut up and go away. But these people think one activist blasting you publicly somehow means that you're responsible to do something. Corporate America has got to break this way of thinking that anger from the mob is an action item for them. They have to break this way of thinking. All right. We still have headlines I didn't get to. I may do a soundbite roundup tonight instead. Those are fun. I haven't done one of those in a while, and I'm so good at them, Chris. I'm so good at them. Before we do that, let's talk about your allergies that you're whining about. I know you are. I know you're complaining to your wife, your husband. My allergies, my head hurts. My nose is running. You have Eden Pure Thunderstorms. You know why they call it an Eden Pure Thunderstorm? Because it does in your home what nature does after a thunderstorm. It completely cleans the air out. It's right there for you. Go get a few of them. They're selling a 3-pack right now for $200 off. That means you can get a 3-pack of Eden Pure Thunderstorms for under $200. It will not only eliminate viruses and mold and smells from your home, and I mean, it takes all the smells out of the air, all of them. It fixed my allergies. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse3. That's Jesse and the number 3. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3. All right? No more whining about the allergies. Go do something about it.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get into everything else here, I want to remind you what I said back in August of 2021. You see, Iran, they just basically developed enough nuclear material for a weapon. China's flirting with invading Taiwan. Russia's already invaded Ukraine. You remember what I said last
August.
This whole thing is not only amateurish and embarrassing, this whole thing is amateurish and embarrassing in front of the whole world. We just embarrassed ourselves with the entire world watching. They think we're weak. They think we're amateurish. Our allies aren't quite sure if we're going to be there for them. And how could they be sure of that? We've got our allies in Afghanistan dropping like flies. This is a disaster. America has been the global superpower for your entire lifetime. It has. We took over that role right about the end of World War I. That's when we really became top dog. And we've been top dog ever since. That's about 100 years. The world is looking right now, and they're asking, are they still top dog? I mean, this is not what the top dog does. This is what some fading power does.
Should be noted that Israel doesn't have the luxury of allowing Iran to get a nuclear weapon. For us, it's an opinion thing. Oh, I want them to have it. I don't care if they have it. I don't want them to have it. There are no opinions in Israel. They're not going to let Iran have it. Israel is going to have to declare war rather than let Iran have one, because Iran, it is famously a theocratic Islamic regime, and they've announced their intention to wipe Israel off the map. We have a president who's not functional. China is going to invade Taiwan. Russia has already invaded Ukraine. Israel and Iran collision course, and we have a president who's not a functional adult. You know what? Set aside that for a moment. I'm going to talk about charities really quickly, because I'm actually in the middle of starting one myself. Had a call about that today, trying to figure out how to do it right and whatnot. Make sure before you give your money to anyone, ever, that you look up the charity online. They have all these different charity rating sites out there, and they will tell you how much of your money actually goes where you want it to go. You'll find some of the biggest charities out there, ones with catchy names or catchy missions, they pocket your money. You give them $20, sure, 10 of it goes in the pocket of the CEO. Hey, let's get another couple for this guy, another couple for that guy. If you're lucky, in the end, 50 cents goes where you want it to go. I talk to you about Tunnel to Towers all the time. Go look them up. They're helping out Gold Star widows, paying off their mortgages, building them homes in some cases, homeless veterans. And the money goes exactly where you want it to go. Go to T2T.org. All right? T2T.org. They ask for $11 a month. $11. T2T.org. All right, it is time for a quick audio roundup. Let's begin.
The recession's even more likely than ever.
Not the majority of them aren't saying that. Come on, don't make things up, okay? Now you sound like a Republican politician. I'm joking. That was a joke.
Just a reminder, that wasn't a joke at all. Joe Biden has actually been a world-class jerk for his entire 19 decades he's been in office. They only sold him to you as a nice old man because they knew he wasn't a functional adult anymore.
How soon are you talking to Xi?
I ain't telling you.
Have you made up your mind on China tariffs, sir?
We're in the process of doing that.
You're lifting the tariffs?
We're in the process of making up my mind.
Okay.
Prepare to sign it, and I'm ready to go.
We're in the process of making up my mind. Here's Joe Biden talking about, well, the head of the CDC. I want you to remember as you listen to this, the head of the CDC, her name is Rochelle Walensky. Here's Joe. Just keep in mind, we're on the verge of World War III.
Well, is a doc here? He's the guy that's running the CDC for me these days, basically. And he's up there. He's standing on stage because he's ready to perform.
Yeah, he's definitely not running the CDC at all. Oh, you should note, what happens if China invades Taiwan? Well, our doddering old fool president went overseas and said, oh, we'll get involved.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are?
That's the commitment we made. That's the commitment we made. We are not. Look, here's...
That's going well. And we also have a president as World War III, as we're on the brink here. We have a president who has to be saved from reporters by his granddaughter.
Yes. One of the things that you may recall that I initiated was
The international flat tax.
No more. No more.
That person, no more, no more, no more. That's his granddaughter. The president doesn't have the authority to look at his granddaughter and say, pipe down. I'll let you know when we're done. The world is watching. Here's his advisor, Cecilia Rouse.
Is it possible, as Americans are feeling that pain, that message is a little tone deaf and could have a really kind of negative impact in terms of consumer sentiment?
So I'm not sure which part is the tone deaf. The president is looking to
focusing
lower costs
on spending money.
For important...
Go ahead.
But he's focused on reducing costs for some of the most important items for Americans. Reducing prescription costs. Reducing costs for childcare. Helping people...
Yeah, we're in very deep trouble. Corinne, diversity hire had another rough day.
I mean, the president has been very clear in making sure that he does everything that he can to alleviate the pain that American families are feeling when it comes to gas prices.
Turns out you shouldn't hire somebody just because they're a black lesbian. Here's John Kirby.
Tanks and all that, all those big ticket items that the Ukrainians say they need, and it's true they do. But what they'll also tell you is that the bullets and the small arms are making a big difference every single day, because the fighting in the Donbass is close combat. A lot of long-range fires, lots of artillery, no question. But there, it's a lot of small arms combat, too. So we forget about that. It's an important set of defense articles and systems that we've been sending to Ukraine, and we're going to continue to do it for as long as we can.
Here's a little reminder that all those small arms you own and the government wants to take away from you, they're very, very, very effective at fighting off a tyrannical government. Here's the Secretary of Energy.
But he's not doing everything that he can do. One option is to pause the national gas tax. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't that happened yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the tools. First and foremost, we want to increase supply. We also want to take a look at consumer relief directly.
Right,
and
but that is 18 cents per
gallon.
18
cents?
That's a lot when you add it up. So why not do it now?
It is, and it's certainly one of the things the president is evaluating. I know this is what's been happening in many states as well. Honestly, the whole array of tools are still being pressed. He's used the biggest tool that he has, but he's obviously very concerned about this continued upward pressure on prices.
What's he waiting for? On the gas tax.
Well, I mean, part of the challenge with the gas tax, of course, is that it funds the roads. And we just did a big...
Yeah, I've had enough of all these liars for the day. All right, listen. If you want to email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, you can. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're going to do a big email roundup tomorrow because I've been neglectful and I've actually let a big... I've let a big pile of them here. I'm going to get better tomorrow, Chris. You can download the whole show at iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. If you want to watch the show, you have to go to thefirsttv.com/Jesse and sign up. Where else can you get this level of journalism?
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. I'm sorry. I have no idea why you put up with this, CDC. All right. Keep your chin up. Have a good night. We're going to be back right here in the chair tomorrow. I'll be sweating, but you'll be happy. It's Juice Jesse. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.